C4. Number 6B.
All right. So, what is the matrix of the Christian Science textbook? You know that a matrix can be formulated very easily through the formula A, capital A, and subscript IJ. That's every matrix has that formula. Capital A, which means what? The subject. The subject here is what? Is Christian Science. The indices, that's the plural of index. Every matrix has two indices. The first index is called the I index. That's from mathematics, and it's an international convention. The I index is here the calculus in the absolute sense. So on top of the matrix, we write the calculus in the absolute sense, the I index. And on the side down, you have the J index. The J is the calculus in the relative. So the word in the relative sense, the Christ in the relative sense, Christianity in the relative sense, science in the relative sense. Yes. Now, if we would only have had, say, a fundamental teaching according to the newest sense of our understanding, where somebody right from the street, say like last week, people came to Joel's class and they didn't know the textbook, but she would have presented, say, the system of reference and has told them, look here in being, the one being, the only being, the infinite one, can really be calculated through the calculus as word, Christ, Christianity, and science, and would have explained somehow what the word is, what the Christ means, what Christianity means, what science means. And if she would have only, if she had said this can be viewed from the absolute point, but it can also be viewed from the impact this absolute sense of the calculus has on the human, that would have been enough, if we know that, would have been enough to write the main subject of the whole textbook. And that's what we would like to do together. Say, let's say that we have no other knowledge, we have no knowledge of the textbook, but just one thing, namely that we know that there, that one of the categories in being are the four, absolute, relative. What we will do would be, therefore, to make a matrix grid, just as I have it here now on the screen, and you have it in front of you, without yet the titles of the chapters in it. But just like this, then you would say, all right, what then is the word Christ, Christianity, and science as columns, the I index? And you could think out and say, well, I have learned, I have been taught that the word, for instance, is the nature of God. That's the revelation of principle's own nature. And so you would write into that first column, I say, here in the word, we have learned in the introductory class that the word is principle self-revelation of its own nature. That's the word, the revelation of God's nature. Just try to write in those boxes on your chart as little as possible, just keywords, so that you have a afterwards an overall view. Don't try too much in the various boxes. So, for instance, here in the word on the top, you just write perhaps revelation of God's nature, knowing naturally that this is principle's own revelation of God's nature. Do you know that? Do you feel that this is the word? If you know the word, you know word has to do with revelation, with the logos, presenting God as what he is. Just that, presenting God as he is, that's the word in absolute sense. The Christ in its absolute sense would be what? You would have in its absolute sense the translation from God to the point of idea, not to the flesh, but from God to idea, because it's an absolute sense. So you put perhaps in here translation of God to idea in the second column. In the third column on the top, Christianity. We know what have we been taught in the introductory class. Actually, that we have to do with the realm of ideas, that is the only Christianity, that the Christianity is the outcome of the Christ. That's why I like to call it Christianity and not Christianity, so as to indicate I mean ideanity, idea realm. So you have the realm of ideas, plural, and science. In absolute sense, we have perhaps learned that science has to do with principle and idea being one, that is the scientific sense of the science. So perhaps you write there principle and idea as one. Yes? All right. Let's go over again very systematically. We would know it has to be a calculus in the absolute sense. Therefore, we would have to keep the pedal note of the absolute. Therefore, the calculus here can only be described in an absolute sense. The word, therefore, must be described in its absolute sense. Therefore, as God revealing himself, what he is. Therefore, God's nature. This is absolute, wouldn't you say? And that it is word. Christ is in an absolute sense that God always translates itself to the point of ideas. That's an absolute sense. Doesn't touch the human. Christianity, again, an absolute sense, is a realm of ideas. Science, the unity of principle and idea. So, you have checked in this way that the index I is the calculus in absolute Christian science. All right. Then take the other, the index J on the horizontals. I just tell you, you can't read it from afar. So you just listen very closely to the tonality of it so that you really can see what we are doing. So we take now the calculus as the index J, which is giving us then the horizontals. The index J is the calculus in Christian science, relative, showing how the calculus touches the human, what impact the calculus has on the human. Therefore, we will have to state the word and the Christ and Christianity and science. We would have to state it in relative terms, no more in absolute terms. Therefore, we would have to know what is the word, for instance, in the relative sense. The relative sense, it is the way we state it, the way we approach it. It is, we could say here, the proposition which is stated. So you have the word as the proposition from which we go out, you see? Proposition. Then we come to the Christ. Now, what do we know about the Christ in a relative sense? We know that the Christ is the divine manifestation of God that comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error, for instance. That's a relative sense. It touches the human. And so we could say it is the manifestation. Manifestation. But we keep in mind that it is not the divine manifestation. It's the divine manifestation that comes to the flesh, to the human. Huh? That you have to keep in your tone. Huh? That the term manifestation per se doesn't yet quite exactly say what we mean. Perhaps we would have to say manifestation in spite of the flesh. Then you have the Christ in a relative sense. Manifestation, perhaps you put in spite of the flesh. Yes. Then we come to Christianity. If you are in Christianity, what do we have? We know Christianity is always the outcome of the Christ idea. But there we have to see it must be the outcome in the relative and not in the absolute. What is the outcome of an idea in the relative? Well, in the relative it is always that somehow error disappears and the idea appears more and more, and to this phenomena we give the term improvement or exaltation or demonstration, something like that. So you can put there either, say, exaltation or you could put there improvement, or demonstration. Doesn't matter which one you know. The main thing is that you feel tonality. You feel that it is an improved state of things in the human. The moment you have improvement, you know that is not absolute, that's very relative. And when we come to the last horizontal science, at the bottom of the matrix, there you have science, but again, applied to the human. Well, how does science come to the human? We understand it. Understanding, scientific understanding, is the human approach to science. And so perhaps you write scientific understanding. Yes. You have it. Let's say that this is what we have learned, say, in an introductory class. These are the fundamentals. And let's say we have never read the textbook, because it's quite natural that today we should be able to teach the Christian Science system on the fundamentals of the 7 and the 4 and the 4, without really that the students would have to read first the textbook. Or even saying that if the student first have an introductory class and knows the system, that when then the student reads the textbook, that the textbook makes much more sense right from the beginning. So let's say we are on Robinson's Island. Just before we went there, we had a class with Joel, and she was telling us, you see, that the system of reference is the 7 and the 4 and the levels. And so we sit there under a palm tree with a little monkey and say, now, what is there all about being? And we are sorry that we left the textbook behind and that we don't have it. And so we say, but Mrs. Eddy didn't have a textbook. She had to write it. She had to conceive of it. So we are in the same position there and are able now to let thought run and flow in order. It's now not inspiration that comes from left to right. Here an inspiration, there an inspiration. Here we remember a Bible verse, and here remember a verse from our hymnal, or things like that. But to flow in order, and that is what the matrix does, that it says that it is a help for ordering thought and have a ordered flow of thought. So we would say, all right, I take my last sheet of paper I have in my notebook, and I make a matrix. And on that matrix, I write down the index I as the word, as we have put it down, the revelation of God's nature, the Christ as God translating itself to the point of idea, then Christianity as the realm of idea, and then science as the unity of principle and idea. I would have written that down. Then I would make the index J and would say, what is the calculus in the human? It comes to us as a big statement, as a big proposition, according to which I have to think. That's the word. The Christ says, and that has an impact on the human. It's the manifestation of that terrific idea on the human. Therefore, in spite of error, I have therefore Christianity as the exaltation of a situation. I have Christianity as the demonstration, as the improvement in the human. And finally, science. I see that all this must happen within my consciousness, that it is a state of scientific consciousness, of scientific understanding. So I would have the frame of a matrix, the index I and J. And now I could start. I would have now 16 boxes, and all what I would have to do now is to determine the place value, the point of intersection in each box. Each box is now a point of intersection of a vertical category and a horizontal category. I have to think now categorically and see what new value is established when these two categories mix. That's all. I have to see what happens. See, like in arithmetic, you have a 2 and you have a 5, and you say, what happens if I put them together? You have a new value, you have a 7. Determined by the 2 and the 5 and the addition, so it gives a new value. In the same way, we have to see really, what is the place value in each box? Is that clear, that the value of a box is determined by the point of intersection? Say, if I take vertically Christianity and I go down to the point where the Christ horizontally interjects, then I have Christianity as the Christ. And I will know at once what that means, because I have defined Christianity as the realm of ideas. So I keep the tone of the realm of ideas when I come down to the Christ, and know what? That the realm of ideas have the power of what? Of manifestation in spite of the flesh, in spite of illusions. So I have the Christ of ideas. That's that. It's a new value. The Christ of ideas. Or the manifestation of ideas in spite of illusions. Can you see? As simple as that. We'll do that over and over and over. But just to introduce you the method, that through a correct sense of the frame, of the indices of the frame, the boxes within the frame, those 16 points of intersection, can be defined clearly, and so we find new values. We can call them place values or the elements of the matrix, whatever we like. Now, if you do that on this Robinson Island, and you feel oh, I have now seen the point of intersection and defined it. You suddenly remember that in the introductory class you have heard that every idea reflects all the synonymous terms, so that you can say, oh, well, then I let that point of intersection which I have defined flow through the seven. And you enlarge within a box. In that box, you enlarge that point of intersection through the seven, like we have done last week, as exercises of how each idea reflects every synonymous term, and you enlarge it through the seven. And if you like, you enlarge it through the seven by seven. And little by little, you have the whole text of a chapter. Do you see what we can do? And can we see perhaps what Mrs. Eddy did? She had to do it from the horse's mouth. Huh? She couldn't go to somewhere to a text and say, what does he say? And now I put it over and put it into my writing. She had to listen to the categories of being and to listen very clearly and distinctly. And that's why it took her so long until she could finalize the whole structure of the textbook. So if we can't do it in a week or in a year, we don't need to be impatient with us. Just go on. It polishes itself. The divine consciousness also can be polished and polished, just as anything can be purified and purified, and it comes out clearer and clearer and clearer. And more you have the sense that that textbook is not a textbook as a printed book, but that it is a text, that it is an exposition of the divine principle in a very orderly way. Yes. All right. So, the textbook is written actually in this way. For instance, if you take prayer, we would have to see that prayer is that point of intersection of the word as the word, defining really that our approach or our proposition is to approach what? The vertical, God's nature, as God's nature. That any other approach to God's nature that is not God's nature is not prayer. And so the whole chapter on prayer is therefore stating the word of God, the nature of God, intersected with our human approach, and saying approach it in the way that is it the nature of God. And so you have a point of intersection that gives us the standpoint of prayer. But Mrs. Eddy doesn't tell that in one sentence, as we could do it, when we just depict the point of intersection. She goes and says, and I expand that through the seven. I give you seven prayers. Not even that would take her perhaps a page. But she goes on and says, I give you those seven prayers in seven subtones. And so The text of the chapter on prayer is the 7x7. It has 49 clear-cut hues, tones, subtones that constitute the whole structure of prayer. So prayer, again, is not just a statement, but it's a whole structure. And the chapter on prayer you can easily see and lay out in the 7x7 the moment you are trained in the tonality. It's all that. Without being trained in the tonality of the seven, naturally we have difficulty in seeing it, because if we don't have tonality, we read English. We read English terms. We don't read the language of spirit. And when we read English terms, we cannot see the structure. No matter how well we can read, no matter how well we are trained to read books, it doesn't yield its substance. Only when we read tonality-wise, what we have been exercising last week very much, then we can see the structure of the chapter prayer, the 7x7. A very fine grid, a very fine web, that shows this chapter on prayer. And in the same way, you can go to Atonement and Eucharist. There already you will find a much finer presentation than just the 7x7. The moment Mrs. Addy comes to the main point of Atonement and Eucharist, namely that love wants us to be reconciled, she will bring in love a much finer presentation than just the 7x7, the 7 in the subtone of 7. Then she will bring in 7x7x7, and sometimes even more. Beautifully clear presentation of an ordered statement of that love wants us to be at one with God. So you can see, not every chapter has the same inner structure, but that every chapter, according to his message, will have a different structure. When we come to marriage, it will again be a different structure, namely it will show itself in the days of creation order, in the 3-3, 5-5, 4-7-2, so it will have a different purpose in it, to structure it. And so you can go on from chapter to chapter and see how we can structure each chapter. Yes.